All we need is a little understanding. Walk a mile in their shoes. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride called life. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride. This wild ride called life.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the True Sweetheart Podcast. This is Annette, your host, and I am very excited to bring on today's guest. She is an author, but the title of her book is very intriguing, but I'm just so excited for you to hear her reasonings on why she wrote the book. So the title of it is called Perfect, A Path to Love, Forgiveness, and Transformation, a life-changing book that illustrates the awe-inspiring and magical way that the universe orchestrates our lives toward a state of wholeness, completion, and love, whether we are aware of it or not. So that right there just brings you in. So Judy Miller, thank you so much for being on here today and for talking about this. So please tell us a little bit about your background, your life, and then how you came to write this book.
So Annette, it's so great to be here. Thank you. So I'm going to ask you a question. Actually, I'm going to ask you three questions. You don't have to answer out aloud if you don't want to, but these questions are for your listeners as well. Have you ever felt different, like you didn't belong? Or maybe you felt incomplete, always searching for someone or something to make you feel whole?
Yep.
Or if you're like me, maybe you felt unworthy, always having to prove yourself over and over again.
Absolutely.
And the reason I ask you and your listeners these questions is because these feelings have literally plagued me for most of my life. I was actually born in Trinidad, which is an island in the Caribbean, and I moved to the U.S. when I was very young, and I never fit in. I always felt different. I didn't look like other people in my neighborhood. I was also born with 11 fingers, and I had this inexplicable fear of the dark. I started my career as a CPA, then I went to work in finance in the healthcare industry for over 25 years, but no matter what I did, no matter how I tried to prove myself, I always felt like I was nothing. But on this journey that I describe in my book, Perfect, I realized that in the nothingness, I could be anything that I wanted. And what I mean by that is when we let go of the stories, the labels, and the judgments, we could truly emerge as our true and authentic self. We no longer have to hide in the shadows. So the reason I wrote Perfect is because when I look out into the world, I see so many people who suffered from the same feelings that I did. And I know that we no longer have to live that way. So that's why I wrote the book.
That's incredible. So as you were growing up with all these feelings, how did you gain the strength to just keep going up, keep showing up, keep going, and trying to convince yourself, tell yourself that it's okay to be different?
Mm-hmm. So if it's okay with you, I'd like to give you kind of an overview of the book, which talks about that.
Yes.
So as a child, I had fears, as you know. So one of my fears was actually the fear of drowning, but I was terrified of the dark and I was terrified of sexual assault and I hadn't been assaulted. So as a child, these feelings and these fears, as you could imagine, were extremely confusing. And I actually never shared the fear of sexual assault with anyone until this book came out recently. So as a child, I would literally be petrified of going to sleep every night. I would crawl into bed, I would pull the covers over my head, and I would recite the Lord's Prayer over and over again, literally, until I would fall asleep exhausted. And Annette, this was my ritual night after night. I couldn't understand the fears and where they came from. So this continued well into my 20s. As I mentioned, I started my career as a CPA. So here I am having a very traditional life, going to work during the day, but at night crawling back into bed, terrified, truly terrified of what I couldn't explain. I actually met my husband at work. We got married and we had kids. And in the exhaustion of raising two incredible kids, commuting 2 to 3 hours a day for work and working 40 to 50 hours a week, in that exhaustion, everything stopped. The terror stopped. But then my kids grew up. And they went off to college and the house became silent. And many of you who are empty nesters might know what that feels like, that silence. But in the silence, everything returned. The terror returned. So here I was, and I must have looked quite comical to my neighbors. I literally tiptoed around my house, afraid of what I might bump into, who I might bump into. I would wake up unexplainably at night, clutching in fear at my husband, and we soon both began to lose sleep. And around at the same time, I actually started to bleed uncontrollably month after month, and I went to see my doctor, and she said that I needed a hysterectomy. And Annette, I was terrified of this surgery, and I couldn't understand why. You know, I had worked in the healthcare industry for over 25 years, and I trust modern medicine implicitly. But I was terrified, and it felt like the same terror that I had as a child and the same terror that returned to me as an adult. So a very good friend of mine recommended that I read a book called Light Emerging. It was written by Barbara Brennan. Barbara was a former NASA physicist, and she actually studied the human energy field. And what she learned, she was actually able to heal people. So literally days before my surgery, I found myself Googling healers near me. And as I sat across from my healer for that very first time, I literally heard the click of a lock, like my entire life was locking into place, finally. And at the time, I didn't know the role that that healer actually played in my family's history. So my healer helped me heal after the hysterectomy. And then in the following months, we began to explore this unexplainable fear of the dark. I had never mentioned to her about sexual assault. So we looked at my childhood experiences to see if anything had triggered that fear, but nothing came to light. And then we started to talk about my parents, because we know that we inherit so many things from our parents. We inherit the color of our hair, the color of our eyes, and other physical characteristics. But the science of epigenetic tells us that we could actually inherit the pain and the trauma from our parents. They've actually shown it with Holocaust survivors, where their children and their grandchildren literally had the same pain and terror that their parents suffered through in their bodies. And there's been recent studies with mice. They introduced the smell of cherry blossoms to the mice, and then they would zap the mice. So Annette, of course, after a while, just the scent of cherry blossom would trigger that same fear in the mice. But what was amazing was their children and their grandchildren, without ever being zapped or exposed to that, just the smell of cherry blossoms would trigger the same fear. So that pain and that terror that I felt every night as a child actually wasn't my own. It was actually a cellular memory from my mother when she was attacked. They say every female baby is born with 2 to 3 million of their reproductive eggs at birth. And there's some debate that says that they probably will never produce more in their lifetime. So on a cellular level, for most of your mother's life, you were actually there as an unborn egg. So the triumphs and the traumas that she experienced, you were actually there. So that trauma that I felt as a child that I couldn't explain was actually a memory from my mother. And Annette, my story doesn't end there. There's actually a shocking connection to the very healer that I trusted to heal me. And I'm not going to give away the ending, because I want you guys to pick up a copy of the book and read it. But in that moment of revelation, when I understood her connection to my family, I could have felt fear, I could have felt anger, I could have felt betrayal, but I didn't. All I felt was the love and the perfection of the universe. And that's how I saw all of our souls are actually interconnected, how we're unconditionally loved and accepted, and how we could choose to heal in any lifetime. So that's actually where the name Perfect came from.
I'm just speechless, because I've never heard of those things that you had mentioned before. And I think it's absolutely, I don't even have the word for it. Like, I'm in awe that it even happened, because I know there's so many, I know there's skepticism about healers. I know that, I think with anything, fortune tellers, healers, even therapists, there's so many different controversies. So I'm so curious about this healer that was brought into your life. I think it's amazing.
It was. It's an incredible journey. And you know, when you introduced me in the beginning and the name of the book, the subtitle to the book, so the name of the book is Perfect. The subtitle is A Path to Love, Forgiveness, and Transformation. But one of the most important things is forgiveness. And many people are confused, not confused, but there are so many different definitions of forgiveness. For me, it's really simple. It means to forego or to let go of. So painful and unwanted events are going to happen to all of us. We could either experience that event once, or we could play it over and over again, hundreds, even thousands of times until it becomes stuck. It literally becomes our identity. So for me, forgiveness is really just letting go of those contracted negative feelings and stories that no longer serve us, so we could truly move forward and experience true and ultimate freedom and happiness. So for me, forgiveness really is an act of self-love. It's one of the greatest gifts that we can give ourselves. So when we talk about healers, I believe one of the reasons that I was able to heal from this trauma and this pain was through the power of forgiveness and the power of love.
No, you're absolutely right. Forgiveness is one of the hardest things for a lot of us to do. But it brings you so much peace when you're finally able to let go of whatever it is that's causing you all that pain. Mm-hmm. And those sleepless nights, those nightmares, all that. It's hard, but it's so needed. So
yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely correct. And I think one of the things that's so important for listeners to understand is that forgiveness is not condoning the actions of the other person. Forgiveness is really getting you out of that cycle of victimhood so you can move forward and experience freedom. There is a saying that's often attributable to Mandela, Nelson Mandela, and there's some debate about who actually said it, but it goes like, resentment is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And for me, that's what not forgiving represents. We're holding on to that pain and that contraction, expecting it to hurt the other person, but the only person that it's hurting is ourselves.
You are so right. I love that. And I love that you talk about that, because it's true. It's so hard and so needed, but gosh, to be able to do that, to forgive for yourself, because you might never get the answers you want. You might never, the peace that comes with forgiveness I can't even come up with the words right now because I felt it. I have felt it. It took me years to get to that point, but I think once someone can experience it, is this complete, it's like you can breathe again, this complete release. So I think it's so important that you mentioned how forgiveness, it's not just for, it's not condoning their act, but it's for yourself really, because you could live the rest of your life never getting the answers that you wish you would have had. But how do you want to live your life, holding on to that or having peace?
Yeah. And one of the questions that I love to ask is, when are you willing to let go and forgive? Before you die? In 25 years? In 20 years? In 10 years? In 5 years? If you're willing to forgive, why not do it now? Why wait?
That's true. And I don't know. I don't know, because I know there's so many times in my life where I'm just not ready to forgive. I need to stay. I don't know why. I need to stay angry because maybe they'll learn their lesson, but maybe they won't ever.
Right. So I have an acronym, I call it NEST. So remember, forgiveness for me is just letting go of the contracted stories that no longer serve us. So I have an acronym I call NEST that I use to help me, and hopefully it'll help you and your listeners as well. So the N stands for to notice or become aware of your stories, right? So why I say that is, we have 60,000 thoughts a day. 95% of them are the same ones we had yesterday and the day before. And 80% of them are negative. As humans, we're actually hardwired to notice, to appreciate, to remember the negative aspects of the situation. And the reason is because millions of years ago, when we were cavemen and cavewomen, it was critical for our survival. But we no longer live in that reality. So we need to actually retrain our minds to not focus on the negative. We need to retrain our minds to focus on the positive aspects of life. And I believe two of the easiest ways to do that is to focus on love and gratitude. What are you grateful for? And I have a friend that literally goes around all day saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And she is probably one of the happiest people I've ever met, but she just doesn't go around saying thank you. She actually feels it. She takes 20 seconds to truly feel the gratitude in her body. So, for example, maybe you're grateful that your child gave you a hug this morning and said, "I love you, mommy." Instead of saying thank you, truly feel and appreciate that in every cell of your body. So we need to retrain ourselves to really notice the positive, grateful things that we have in our lives. So that's what the N stands for, to really notice and become aware of those negative thoughts and replace them with more positive, empowering thoughts. The E stands for truly experience the emotions. So as humans, we are meant to feel the emotions in our body, but so many of us are not trained to actually feel our emotions, right? We're, for example, boys are often told as children, they should not cry, or even women, you know, as they're older in the corporate environment, you're not supposed to cry. You're not supposed to show your emotions. So in many respects, we're not trained to actually deal with our emotions. And oftentimes we don't feel them, we deny them, or we think about them instead. And when we think about our emotions, they're not always true, meaning that how many times have you had a situation where it's actually not true? And I'll give you a really quick example. My next door neighbor was supposed to come over and she didn't show up. So 15 minutes later, I'm starting to think, what did I do wrong? She doesn't like me anymore, right? So then I picked up the phone and she said, I didn't come over because I thought it was tomorrow. But we all do that. We all create incorrect information. So in that, I believe the body tells the truth, our mind is not always telling us the truth, right? So E, our emotions are meant to be felt as sensations in our body and then let go. So Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor was a Harvard neuroscientist, and she wrote a book called My Stroke of Insight. And in it, she talks about the 90-second rule. She says, Annette, when an event happens, either good or bad, could be a positive event or a negative event. When an event happens, it actually takes our body only 90 seconds to actually experience and process those sensations and emotions in our body and then let them go. After those 90 seconds, it's up to us. So if we're still hanging on to that negative contracted energy more than 90 seconds, perhaps we're starting to create a story around it, right? So I encourage you to truly feel your emotions. And what I encourage you and your listeners to do is, remember I said I felt different for most of my life. So when people said hurtful and unwanted things because I didn't look like other people in my neighborhood, it literally felt like an elephant that sat on my chest and I couldn't breathe. So when people sometimes say hurtful things, sometimes it's triggered. I feel it in my chest. So I acknowledge the feeling. I don't deny it. I take the 90 seconds and truly feel it. And if it lingers more than 90 seconds, I actually put my hand on wherever it might be. For me, it's my chest. For you, it could be your solar plexus. Maybe it's your throat where you feel that you can't speak up. And just close your eyes and just connect in and slowly just breathe in and out of that area. I believe our breath is our spirit. So breathe in and out of that area gently for a few seconds, for a minute, and you will actually start to feel that contraction start to soften. So you're acknowledging that feeling. And then S is to scratch the record. So the S in NEST stands for scratch the record. So I got this from Tony Robbins when I went to one of his seminars probably 20 or 30 years ago. But he said our negative thoughts, our stories, our emotions are like grooves on a record player that just play over and over and over again. So we need to scratch that record so we can't play that story any longer. So some of the things that I use is, you know, when you start to have that negative thought, you could say cancel, 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 stop. You can get one of those funny, you know, staples, you know, stop, easy, whatever, buttons. But for me, say cancel, 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 clear, and replace it with a more positive story. So literally take notice of what you're thinking about and literally flick it off before it becomes a blaze, before it catches fire. Right. The other one is to put a rubber band on your wrist. You probably have heard of this, where you sling your wrist. And the reason I think it works is it disrupts your story. It gets you out of your head and back into your body where truly emotions are meant to be felt. And then the last one I also learned from Tony is called zany crazy thing, right? So in the seminar, he had this woman, I'll probably get in trouble from Tony from repeating the story, but in the seminar, this woman was complaining. She was complaining about her husband. So Tony lovingly picked up a glass of water and threw it in her face. And then can you imagine what this woman was going through, but she knew that Tony meant the best for her and he's a truly loving soul and being. So she wiped her face off and she started talking, and 5 minutes into talking again, she starts complaining about her husband. So Tony picks up a glass of water, splashes it in her face again. So it did two things. Number one, it made her become aware of the negative cycle and story she was telling herself. And number two, it disrupted her pattern so she couldn't repeat it. So I invite you and your listeners to come up with something zany or crazy the next time you have that negative story that you know that you're stuck in. Do something so crazy that you can't even think about it anymore, right? And then the last thing, the T in Nest is tender love and care. You know, so many of us feel isolated during COVID, and I believe the isolation not necessarily is the isolation from each other, but I believe a lot of our loneliness and isolation is because we've become disconnected from the Creator, and we've also become disconnected with our true and eternal selves. We've abandoned ourselves in so many ways, physically, mentally, spiritually. You know, are we drinking enough water? Are we sleeping? Are we eating whole natural foods? Are we walking? Are we exercising? You know, are we emotionally focused on gratitude and love? And then spiritually, you know, are you praying? And if you're not religious, are you walking in nature? Are you finding time for stillness? I believe so many of us feel lonely because we've abandoned ourselves. And I believe that true self-love is not arrogant. It's actually, when we love ourselves more deeply, we have more love to give to other people. So that's just Nest and what I try to incorporate every day into my life. And I found, Annette, that by doing this, I'm more happy. Life is so much easier.
Oh, I appreciate that. And I took notes. So I want you guys to make sure you have a notebook and a pen, because I was writing these down, because it completely, it makes sense, but I've never thought about it before. I never thought about those things, but it's true. We should absolutely go by this acronym. I love it. Mm-hmm. I think it's genius, but you're right. You know, it's, how can we help others if we can't help ourselves? How can we love others if we can't love ourselves? And it's not a bad thing. And I think there's a big difference on how we love ourselves, but it's not a bad thing to do that, because especially now during this time when we feel disconnected and we feel isolated, we need to remember to work on ourselves, put ourselves first, because we forget that all the time.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And, you know, Dr. Stephen Covey wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People in the late 80s. And I read it many years ago. And he said, between stimulus and response is our greatest power, the power to choose. So how I've implemented this in my life and throughout the book is, between stimulus and response, there's a gap. And in that gap, we get to decide. So when something happens, it's not instantaneous, our reaction. There's actually a space. There's actually a gap. And we get to decide how we respond. So I believe there's really only two emotions in life. There is fear, and then there is love. Fear is just a contracted negative energy. It's either looking back at the past, wishing that we could actually have changed it, or looking forward into the future, hoping that, you know, afraid of what it might be. So for me, fear is just a contracted negative story. And I was writing my blog 1 month, and I realized as I was writing it, that my entire life actually lived from a place of fear. I was afraid of being judged. I was afraid I was not lovable. I was afraid that I wasn't enough. I was afraid that I was incomplete. But Annette, when we let go of the fear, so between that space between stimulus and response, that gap is our greatest power. We have the power to decide. So some people ask whether or not all stories are bad, and they're not. So Annette, you're beautiful, you're wonderful, you're changing the world. That's a beautiful and empowering story, and there's nothing wrong with it. But so many of us are trapped in stories that don't serve us. You know, Angeles Arian, it's mentioned in the foreword to my book. She is a cultural anthropologist, and she says that in certain indigenous cultures, it's important to share your story with loving and supportive people. And it is. They do not encourage people to repeat it more than 3 times. So if you repeat your story more than 3 times, they will actually take you and dangle you over a cliff in it until you're willing to let go of the story and see the wisdom in the experience. So these cultures, it's interesting. These cultures you know, appreciate and understand that we are social beings and that we have to share our stories, but they also understand that if we repeat it too often, it becomes our identity.
Wow. I'm sitting here listening to you and I'm thinking, oh my gosh. I'm running out of words because how many times have I repeated my story? But now, like you said, I'm using it for other purposes. I'm using it for a mission to help other people. So it's a complete, you know, 180, 360, however you want to see it. I completely changed how I'm telling my story. And it's not coming from the negative part of where I thought I was, but now into a more positive part. So I think it's all about how we use it now.
Mm-hmm. So Perfect is actually broken up into three parts. So Perfect, the book, is broken up into three parts, and 80 to 90% of the book is actually written like a novel. So it invites readers to want to listen and see how the book ends, because there is a shocking ending. Because they say most people actually don't read past the first 19 pages of a book. So I wanted people to pick up and actually go through the experience with me. So even though it's uncommon and maybe a little unusual, I do believe the story holds a promise for us all. So that's, you know, one part of the book. Another part of the book is called Reflections. So what are the key lessons, like the nest that we were talking about? What are some of the key lessons in the book that readers can take and apply in their own lives? And then there's a handful of very simple exercises. And I purposely made them simple because I know how incredibly busy people are. So I made them easy on purpose. But the reason I put the exercises in there is so people can take the lessons and truly embody these principles into their own life so they can learn to let go of their stories.
That's brilliant.
But you know, in that there's a spiritual aspect to the book as well, because it was a spiritual journey that I went on. And I would love to be able to just share some stories with you from the book, because I think so many of us need to hear it right now.
Absolutely.
So actually, a lot of this journey began on Good Friday. I was in church waiting for Mass to start, and my kids were probably next to me texting with each other. And I was just sitting there listening to the choir sing, waiting for the priest to start. And this overwhelming sense of love just literally descended upon me out of nowhere. And it was every sensation of love you could imagine multiplied a million times, just coursing through my body. And I don't know where it came from or how it happened. And I'm looking around the church to see if anybody else has experienced what I just went through. But everybody else is doing what they're doing. My kids are texting. And I just went through this overwhelming sense of love. And we often hear about it in people who've had near-death experiences, this overwhelming sense of love that they felt. But I was wide awake. It felt like I was dying with my eyes wide open. And the reason I wanted to share this with you is because if you knew how much you are loved, if we knew how much we are all loved, we would never doubt ourselves again, ever. And as I was laying in bed recuperating from my hysterectomy, I actually refused to take painkillers just because I had heard so many, you know, sad stories about people becoming addicted to painkillers. So I literally didn't take anything. And I would try to lay as still as possible because every sneeze, every movement literally felt like an electric shock through my abdomen. But as I laid there, this guy just came into my awareness, in and out of my awareness, and would just sit beside me as I was recuperating. And the message that she told me is, we are never alone, never abandoned, always loved. If we knew who stood beside us in every moment, we would never be afraid. And the reason I wanted to share that with you and your listeners is because if you knew you were unconditionally loved, if you knew that the universe was always with you, supporting you, even if it didn't feel like that, if you knew that, would you live your life differently? And, you know, like I said, I appreciate that not all listeners may be spiritual, even religious, but I just wanted them to know how much hope and how much we're loved. And then there's this one last story, if it's okay with you.
Sure.
So my healer suggested that I actually go through hypnosis because she thought that maybe something from my past would come up and we could understand where this fear came from. So I agreed. And As I was going through the hypnosis, it's so interesting. If you've never been hypnotized, you're fully aware of what's going on, but your mouth has a mind of its own. So meaning that you're aware of what you're saying, you're aware of what's happening, but there's like no censor to what you're saying. So it was truly an interesting experience. So as I was laying on her healing table, I felt myself literally rising through this purple haze and then out into this bright white light. And again, it felt like a near-death experience, but I wasn't dying. And as I ascended into this feeling, this bright white light, it felt like I was merging into this love. I actually became this love. And the message that I got then, again, was we can all come home, always go home, but in accepting who we are exactly as we are. The joy is in the reunion and remembering who we are, because so many of us have forgotten. And I just see so many parallels with COVID. You know, this message was we can always come home. And then with COVID, we're all being sent home. So like I was saying before, it's our opportunity to reconnect and have self-love and have self-care, and more importantly, self-compassion for ourselves. You know, we were talking about forgiveness before, but oftentimes the person that we have to forgive the most is ourselves.
Oh my gosh, so many truths to all of that. It's really amazing. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners are sitting there going, oh my gosh, like I needed to hear that today so that I could actually realize what I'm going through. And that it's really not, you know, not that bad. It's just, we have to decide on how we're going to react. Mm-hmm. So that's really amazing.
You know, it's interesting, in the moment when we're only looking at the event, we could feel the pain and the emotion. But oftentimes when you ask people if they would go through the same event again, oftentimes people say they would. And the reason that many people have told me that is because they felt that they've actually become stronger as a person. Through the adversity, they've actually come out stronger. So when we take that 1,000-foot view and we see how all of the pieces actually fit together in our life, and we could take that much grander view, we realize that many events are actually here to serve us, even though in the moment, it may not feel that way.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I feel the same way. There's so many things that I've gone through that I don't know if I would really change it, because it's made me the person that I am today. Mm-hmm. And I know it's hard for a lot of people to really come to think like that. But for some of us, that's who we are now. And
you mentioned it earlier, you know, why are you doing these podcasts, Annette? If you didn't go through the experiences that you went through, would you be doing the podcast? I don't know. Just a question.
I don't know. It's so odd. I don't even have the words. I'm just speechless because there's so many things I'm learning today just from listening to you. And you're right. I don't know if I would be in this space.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I think it's amazing the things that we go through and how we overcome them.
So I know that we both have children. So I'd love to share a children's story with you, if that's okay.
Yes.
It's called A Little Soul in the Sun by Neil Donald Walsh. And he wrote Conversations with God. Conversations with God is a series of adult books, but he decided to take one principle and write it in a children's book. And in this book, in heaven, everything is perfect. So there's no contrast. So we can't experience the magnificence of who we are, because everything truly is just perfect. And we actually come to earth to learn our lessons, to experience the magnificence of who we are, because there cannot be light without darkness. And when we come to earth, we're pretending so hard to be what we're not that we often forget. So in this children's book, in this story, this little soul wants to learn forgiveness. And God says, there's nothing to forgive. Everything here is perfect. So this little angel of light comes forward and says, I will help you. I will do something so atrocious that you will have to learn how to forgive. You will have to learn unconditional love. And the little soul says, why would you do that? And the angel of light says, I will do it because I love you. But when in that moment, when I strike you, please remember who I am, because I'll be pretending so hard to be what I'm not that I would have forgotten. So my invitation to people is, what if we were just here to learn our lessons, to learn through contrast the magnificence of who we are?
Wow. Yeah. What? That's a great story. Thank you so much for sharing.
No problem.
I'm going to walk away from this just like in awe of everything that you have said, because it's so needed. We need to hear stuff like this. We need to hear stories like this. We need to hear life lessons like this, because it makes you just think, really, really think about your life. And it's absolutely amazing.
And I think that's so wonderful, your podcast, because you're inviting people to come and to share. So you're changing so many lives. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Where can people find your book and just message you? Because there's so much here.
So my website is Judy with an I. So it's J-U-D-I Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R.net. And on my website is all my social media handles, and I write a monthly blog. But I encourage you to go there to buy the book. It actually just takes you directly to Amazon. But the reason I invite people to do that is because I have 5 free bonuses. I've had such wonderful and amazing mentors in my life, and they've actually contributed 5 free bonuses to anyone who buys the book. And the reason I think that's so important is because I truly want people to experience this change in their lives. And my mentors have offered these free gifts. So with each purchase, you actually get 5 free bonus gifts. So you can buy the book anywhere, but you actually claim it on my website. And then also on my website is a tab called free ebook. It's my free ebook called Awaken the Creator Within. And that's absolutely free to your listeners. They don't have to buy anything, but just go there and they can get the free ebook. And again, it's just some simple exercises to really reconnect with who they are.
I love that. Thank you so much. You guys, I'm going to put this in the show notes and in the podcast guide. So please make sure to support her through her website, to get the book, to get all those freebies. I mean, that's just, it's amazing, especially from coming from your mentors. So we're learning from you and from those that you've learned from. So just amazing all the way around. Thank you so much for being on here, for being you, and for sharing all of this. I know I'm appreciative of it. And I know that the other listeners are going to feel the same way. So thank you.
It was such an honor to be here, Annette. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Truths We Hide podcast, created and founded by your host, Annette, the founder of A Wild Ride Call Life. Also, a big thank you to all of our sponsors for each and every episode that is aired. We have so much support from them and all of our listeners. You can find more information at www.awildridecalllife.com.